Now what we'd like is for you to be a subscriber to our newsletter. And to do that, this fine product that I put together every afternoon, you just have to go to upnorthnewswi.com and click on newsletter up in the top banner, and you will join, roughly 47,000 other close friends and relatives who are subscribers. And you can also like us over on Facebook by searching for Up North News WI and be part of the, where's my latest number there? Something like 67,000 people who are following us there. So we really appreciate you doing that and for joining us here on the brand new radio show, which, I mean, I'm only bringing in so many people. Kristen Lyerly here is bringing in the lion's share of it. thank you for doing me that favor.
It's always a pleasure. Oh, Pat, the hall to my oats.
And it was, all right. And so... It was Kristen who, as we started talking about, you know, the folks that we should talk to, who are running for office, and some of them are real trailblazers. And that's how we got to learn about, and can't wait to visit with Jessica Katzenmeier, who made history this week, becoming the first transgender woman in Wisconsin to advance past the primary for a state legislative office. It's not why she ran. All the issues that you're going to hear about, but making history, pretty big deal as well. Jessica, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for having me on.
It's, you know, we're seeing, and it was noted here by CBS 58 in Milwaukee, a record number of transgender people running for state offices. And I think that the, you noted the timing, that at a time when abortion rights are being stripped, the LGBTQ community, you know, is wondering, Where is the next shoe going to drop? So along with the typical legislative reasons for running, let's go ahead and talk about, you know, what is unique and historic, and that you hope someday is not so unique and not so historic about who represents us in Madison.
Well, absolutely. I think representation in our state legislature is huge. And what I mean by representation is people who look like the population here in our state. You know, having diverse representation, having diverse women running for office, because what this does is that this brings more voices to the table, I think, and this brings new ideas to the table. And this is where change really begins to take place. So, I mean, what a year we've had in the campaign cycle so far, because who would have ever known that this would be the year that Roe gets overturned? And then now this has become one of the biggest issues in the campaign. This is what I hear all the time out there when I'm outdoors. Yeah, you know, we need to have our right to safe access to abortions protected. And so we ran on it in our primary. And then, you know, that's what speaks to the voters. I want people to look at me as somebody who's going to fight for them, not as, you know, my identity is important to me, but they want somebody in Madison who's going to fight for them.
And you are such a fighter. So background on our relationship, we ran for state assembly together in 2020. And you came to this from a very organic place. Can you talk a little bit about what it was that inspired you to run for public office in the first place, and then how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, I was doing a podcast show for a while way back in the day. This is kind of like, I've been living as female now as myself for over 8 years. So this is probably about the time when I first kind of came out as transgender. I was kind of running like a little LGBTQ, little political podcast, and I had Jocasta Zamarripa on with me. And at the time she was elected to the state legislature, and now she is an alder in Milwaukee. And she said after the show, she goes, you know, there's never been a transgender woman in our state legislature before, and I would love to see you to be the first. So something historic about this race is not only would I be the first here in Wisconsin, I would be the second one in the state Senate nationally behind Sarah McBride in Delaware. So when we run for office and we bring up these issues, people see us out there, we are visible to our constituents. My hope is always to have more LGBTQ people step up to the plate, because then they see that we're doing it. Hey, she's doing it. I can do it too. And especially after winning this historic primary last week.
Mm-hmm. I love that somebody saw something in you and knew that you had what it took to be a leader and to speak with the voice of the people. And they tapped you and you said, you know, I can do this. To have the courage to do what you've done, I think is really extraordinary. And I'm so grateful to you.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it does take a lot of courage because you're putting your whole life basically out there. As you know, Kristen, from running back in 2020, you know, people will say things about you that's not true, or people, you know, people worship you like you're some type of god, or excuse me, or you'll have people who hate you for no reason. And you know, you all know that I'm probably one of the most sweetest people you'll ever meet. But I'm also a fierce fighter because I know what's right for our democracy and for what people want to have in our district as a leader. And that's what we kind of made that stark contrast with my opponent in the primary. So, and that's people trusting me to lead them.
Right. And so it's noted, you know, in the news story here that there's a record number of LGBTQ candidates, more than 1,000 nationwide. Among them are 46 trans women, 27 of them running for state legislature. But you're not only running, you're running as somebody who won a primary in your party. So this isn't some token, you know, candidacy. This is something where it was a competitive race in this district to make the ballot. So what was the key to your success in the primary?
I think I just worked off of my strengths. I think Kristen will probably say the same thing about me. My strengths are networking with people, building up my networks, and not just here locally in the district, but also statewide, because you're going to need that network when it comes to things like fundraising, which is so important in a campaign. I'm not the richest person in the world. I've worked 2 part-time jobs before to make ends meet. So that's why I knew like building that network is key. Finding those key supporters in a community who's going to talk to other people about you and get other people to vote for you, because I can't do everything alone myself. And then keep in mind, my primary opponent was no pushover candidate. He was a two-time former congressional candidate in there. He had a lot of name recognition. And honestly, I kind of think that maybe he thought I was pushover or something or whatever, but we just won the game on the ground. And that's what happened.
Let's talk about the district. We should have gotten into that by way of background. Tell us about it's the 5th State Senate District, right?
That is correct. Yes. The 5th State Senate District is in the Western Milwaukee suburbs. I'm in West Allis where I live here. It's the western part of West Allis, the western and northern parts of Wauwatosa, Elm Grove, Brookfield, and New Berlin. Now, places like Brookfield was traditionally really, really red, but now it's more purple. A good friend of mine who's running for state assembly over there now, Sarah Harrison, who's running for Sarah Rodriguez's old seat. She ran for school board in Waukesha and barely lost. So it was basically a 50-50 race. And it shows how the population shifts from the city out to the suburbs. And this is why this is going to be a really close race. And this is an important race, too, because this is a save the veto race for a governor. So we want Tony Evers to be reelected. But we also need to make sure we keep his veto power in the state Senate so none of these horrible GOP bills get through.
So your race has been identified as one that's winnable here in the state, because we know, due to profound gerrymandering, there are a lot of races that are going to be really uphill climbs. But yours is winnable, and it's necessary in order to preserve the veto power for Governor Evers.
Yes, it's very winnable. I would say it's probably a 50-50 race here. And after winning the primary last week, people are energized. And I feel that electricity out there. And that's what we need as Democrats in order to get somebody like me over the top. And it's so exciting to see all the love and support myself and my campaign team has received. We're really feeling that energy. I'll walk down the street, I'll have people honking their horns at me, like, hey, go Jessica. I'm like, hey, awesome. You know, and this shows that I'm really a champion of the people in my district and that I will fight for them in Madison. And that's what they want. They want to change.
We covered in our 8 o'clock hour with Sarah Rodriguez, who's running for lieutenant governor, the notion that, you know, she's from Waukesha, represents the Brookfield area. And again, for, you know, the bulk of our audience, which is up north and not entirely familiar with the Milwaukee metropolitan area, the moment you hear Waukesha in any way, shape, or form, you think, well, this is, you know, David versus Goliath. It's a Republican behemoth. It can't be done. But, you know, in the last election cycle and now in this one as well, and in the presidential numbers that came in, tell folks outside of the Milwaukee area about the changes that are being seen in Waukesha and in the north areas north of Milwaukee. Things aren't what they always used to be from a partisan vote standpoint, are they?
No, they're not. I mean, Waukesha is known as a part of the Wild Counties, which is Waukesha, Washington, and then Ozaukee Counties. Washington, for reference, is northwest of Milwaukee. Ozaukee is just north of Milwaukee, and these are traditionally deep red areas. I would say Washington and Ozaukee County are probably still pretty red, but it seems like, you know, when you have the population shifts, when people are kind of moving outside of the city and gentrifying these the suburbs of Milwaukee, I mean, I won West Dallas in 2020 when I ran for state assembly, and I pulled in over 40% of the vote in New Berlin, which is a pretty huge accomplishment because that is known as a really deep red area in our district. But the way we did it is just through our messaging. I ran on a progressive platform in the primary, and we were able to sell that to the voters in our district, even the ones who may be leaning Democrats or maybe independent who voted on our side. And it shows you can win on progressive politics. You just have to know how to sell it.
You got it. And you talked about population shifts, but I think you're exactly right. I think it's the issues, and the issues are changing and becoming more relevant to people and more unifying as we start thinking about who are we and what's important to us. What are those issues that you are really focusing on to bring together your area?
Well, obviously, pro-choice seems to be the number one issue right now, and it's going to be the number one issue going into the general election here. I think inflation is a huge issue right now. I mean, I've felt it. I'm sure everybody in the northern Wisconsin has felt it as well, too, where my minivan, it cost me $75 to fill up when it's all the way empty. I mean, it takes a little hit out of you. Also, protecting our democracy, expanding voting rights, and then also common sense gun laws. We've seen a record number of mass shootings here in this country. And I think it's our right as humans that we should be able to go to places like malls, shopping centers, or sporting events and feel safe to go to these events without, you know, without fear. Is this going to be a place going to be shot up? Or same with our kids. We should be able to send our kids to the schools every day. And, you know, they should not have to fear for their own safety. It's a crazy world that we are living in.
You're talking about the commonality of values. There are plenty of hunters and gun owners who don't want their kids, you know, killed in a school shooting. They are in favor of common sense, you know, gun safety laws. And you have people who are not going to be mistaken for rabid Democrats, but they want government to leave their bodies alone when it comes to regulating them. So you're probably hearing a lot more commonality than in past cycles.
Right, exactly. And it's like the message is, you know, we don't want to take everybody's guns away, but we want to make sure that we have common sense laws in place. And this is the same thing when it comes to stuff like our rights, like taking those Republican buzzwords like freedom, saying it's our freedom to choose what we want to do with our body, with abortion, to living how we want to live our life. And that's how we've been effective in our messaging.
We're talking to Jessica Katzenmeier, candidate for state senate in the 5th district. We're going to talk more about some of the issues that are going to be on the ballot for any legislative race across Wisconsin as people make their choices come November. Along with Kristen Lierley, I'm Pat Kreitlaw. You're up north.